All right, continuing on, the Christian home, lesson number 6. Probably have about 2 or 3 more lessons in this series before we begin another book study. But this has been a good interlude. This is not our normal book study type of format, but this is more of a topical study just for the last few weeks we've been doing this, the Christian home. Last week we talked about dads because it was Father's Day. And this week we're going to again shift gears and now talk about the ladies again. All right, and the title is A Virtuous Woman. Amen. So last week we targeted the men. We kind of spoke to the men last week about being a godly dad and or for that matter just being a godly man. Amen. And the importance of that. Today we're going to talk to the women, a virtuous woman. And we're going to be in Proverbs 31, famous chapter of the Bible, Proverbs 31, a great portion of scripture. And it's a virtuous woman. And the introduction says, there is nothing quite as precious or treasured on earth, humanly speaking, as a virtuous woman. Treasured is the blank of the introduction. Something that is treasured. A virtuous woman. And we'll talk about what that is. Virtue has the idea of moral quality. That's lacking today. And if there's one place we ought to be able to find it, it should be in the church.
Amen.
I don't think we're going to find it out in the world. All right? So I really hope we can find it in the church. But what's sad is when you look in the church and you don't see it. That's when it's really sad.
Amen.
And you know, we're quick to point the finger at the world, aren't we? We're quick to say, well, look at this, look at that. But you know what the Word of God teaches? The Word of God teaches judgment begins at the house of God.
Amen.
That's where we should be looking. Yeah, the world is in a bad shape. There's no doubt about it. But should we expect the world to be in good shape if the church is not in good shape? You see, it starts here. We got to look within. Look within our own house. Look within God's house. Judgment starts at the house of God. So we ought to find virtue in the church. So the women of the church ought to be virtuous women. Okay? The women of the church ought to be virtuous women. And let's talk about what that includes. Number one, the heart. The heart of a virtuous woman. Obviously, that's where you got to start with anything. It starts in the heart. Because you won't be anything outwardly if you don't have it first inwardly. And in Proverbs 31, verse 1, there's a man by the name of King Lemuel. We really don't know much about who this man is. Some people suspect that it might even indeed be King Solomon. But we don't know. It's just this man that's mentioned here and here only. King Lemuel. But notice this one chapter where this man is found. Notice who he speaks about. He speaks about his mother. He speaks about his mother. And as a matter of fact, he says in verse 1, he's basically telling us, these words that I'm about to tell you are the words that my mother taught me. Isn't that great? These are the words that my mother taught me. So, letter A. King Lemuel's mother taught him some important lessons about life. So letter A, taught. King Lemuel's mother taught him some important lessons about life. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So see, once again, women do have a powerful teaching role in life. And she begins to speak about some things. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vow. She's saying, I got some lessons for you, my son. And notice what she says in verse 3. This is a woman speaking now. She tells her son in verse 3, give not thy strength unto women. That's a mother's advice right there. I guess she knew a thing or two about that. She said, son, don't allow yourself to get involved with the wrong kind of women. Right? Nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So two main lessons that his mother taught him, you know what they were? About women and about liquor.
Amen.
I'd say those are two major problem areas in our culture. Wow. I mean, you know, you take any average man in the world today, and I dare say those are two issues that the average man, and I'm not necessarily talking in the church, I'm just talking average outside of the church, I dare say those are the two main areas that the outside world man battles with. Right? So she's telling him, son, don't have anything to do with these. You know, you stay away from the wrong kind of women. You stay away from liquor. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing good in it for you. So first of all, letter B, she obviously had a heart that feared God.
Amen.
I think it's safe to say that. King Lemuel's mom had a heart that feared God. She said, son, you need to do the right things. You need to do the right things, son. And in letter C, God's word is filled with examples of the great impact godly mothers have had on their children. Great impact. We can mention Timothy's mother and grandmother. You read about them in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. You read about Timothy's mother and grandmother. How Paul said to Timothy, you know, your mother and grandmother had faith, and now, you know, they've passed it on to you. And it was a great impact that Timothy's mother had upon him. Yep, that couple, both of them. The Bible mentions both, the husband and wife. That's true. Yeah, that's right. Now, how about another example, letter D? Hannah gave Samuel to God, and a great revival came to Israel. Remember that story in the Old Testament? Hannah prayed to God for a son, remember? Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We've actually gone through this some time ago. And 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's go back to chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If we look at verse 9. So Hannah rose up, 1 Samuel 1, 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat on the seat. We talked about Eli last time, didn't we? And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She says, God, if you would just give me a son, I promise I'll give him back to you. And you know what? God did give her a son. You know what? She kept her word. How easy it would have been for her to come up with some kind of excuse after she got the son. You know how people make promises? Oh, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And then you do that for them. And now all of a sudden, well, you know, but this, but that. And they come up with all the exceptions as to why they don't have to keep up their end of the deal. Hannah kept up her end of the deal. God gave her a son. She nursed him. And when he got to a certain age, then she gave him to the temple full time. He worked in the tabernacle full time with Eli. And you know what happened? Samuel became a great, great spiritual leader.
Amen.
Samuel was a good leader, a good spiritual leader in Israel. And great revival came to Israel because of it. Great revival came to Israel. So you know what? Letter E. We would have more Samuels if we had more Hannahs. I believe that's true. We would have more Samuels if we had more Hannahs. More mothers like Hannah would produce more sons like Samuel. Absolutely. I mean, you go through and you think of different examples. John and Charles Wesley of years gone by, their mother, Susanna Wesley. I don't remember the exact number. I think she had like 16 children. 17 children, and she was just an amazing godly mother, and her son served the Lord, and you know, and you just think of these people of years gone by and how they did it, right? You wonder, how did they do it, and this and that. But you know, they had a heart for the Lord, and if we had more Hannahs, we'd probably have more Samuels in the world. And you know, letter F, this is important to think of. One quote from our book: many men have chased after wild women only to think later that they would not want that kind of woman to be the mother of their children. Isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, when you think of that individual becoming the mother of your children, now there's more at stake, isn't there? And that's important. And that's letter G. The character of a woman, the character of a woman should be a man's number one concern. That should be number one. Now, I'm not saying that appearance has nothing to do with anything, no, but character needs to be important. It sure does. Character needs to be at the top of the list, because what a person is on the inside is so important. So character. And that's what we're talking about, the virtuous woman. Look at what we see in verse 10 of Proverbs 31. This is, again, these are the words that King Lemuel's mother taught him. King Lemuel's mother says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies."
Amen.
They're rare treasures. And that's why in the church, that's where they ought to be found. In the church. Because certainly, if you can't find them in the church, where are you going to find them? If we can't find virtuous women in the church, where will they be found?
About 3 months ago, this woman got us killed in the bar in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Mother was saying, "My daughter was such a good woman and all this here, Jed, you know?"
Right.
And I was saying in my heart, I was saying, "If your daughter was such a good woman, what is she doing in a bar drinking 3 o'clock in the morning?"
Not a good idea. I'll agree with you. It's not a good place to be. Character. Sure. The character is most important. So we see the heart. It's a heart of character for a virtuous woman. A heart that wants to do what's right. A heart that fears God, like King Lemuel's mother. Number 2 is we see the husband. The husband of the virtuous woman is mentioned in verse 11. Proverbs 31:11, we see the husband. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." He has complete confidence and trust in her because of her character. How sad it is when a relationship, when there's no trust. Letter A. A virtuous woman is one that can be trusted. Letter A. Notice that phrase. "He doth safely trust in her." A virtuous woman is one that can be trusted.
Amen.
And you know, a good quote here, letter B. You cannot build a home without trust. You can't. You cannot build a home without trust. So, a virtuous woman is one that can be trusted. Okay? You cannot build a home without trust. Once that trust is violated, it takes a long time to rebuild it, doesn't it? Yeah. Any type of relationship. Friendships, you know, any type of thing there needs trust. And Lotus letter C, it can take years to build up trust, right? But you know what? Only take a moment to destroy years of what was built. It takes a long time to build up trust, right? I think of trust like a building, you know? It takes a while to build a building, but it can be destroyed in a matter of seconds, right? It's not hard to destroy something, but it sure takes some time to build something. And trust is something that is built up over years and time, and it can be destroyed very quickly. And once it's destroyed, I think it takes even longer to rebuild it. You got to clean up all the rubble, and then you got to start over and rebuild. Emilio? Yeah. I mean, it is an example of destruction that happened so fast. In one day, buildings were destroyed. And look at how long it takes to rebuild. Long time. Yes, Dan. A little rabbit trail. Yeah, I don't know. That's for Right. Thankfully, I don't think it's fully gone through yet. It is. Well, of course, that's their attempt to. It's their attempt. I know. Well, hopefully we, you know, hopefully some people will take a stand. And, yeah. Amen. But you know, it does take a while to rebuild, doesn't it? And we got to make sure. That's why it's so important when any relationship that we do all it takes to keep the trust. Don't violate that trust. Don't ruin that trust. Brother Tony.
Right. And that question mark is always behind that question. If
right.
A wife commits adultery or a husband commits adultery.
Right.
Even though that it's forgiven.
Yes.
That question mark is always going to be in the husband or the wife.
You're right.
Can I trust him? Is he telling me the truth?
Once it's been violated, it's very hard to forget.
Yes.
And forgiveness, like you said, forgiveness may be there, but there's always going to be the question marks.
Yes.
So it's very difficult. It's hard. It is. So that's why in our relationships, the goal should be maintain the trust. Don't violate the trust. All right? And you know, when there is that trust, again, verse 11 of Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You know, the wonderful thing about that, being able to safely trust. There's no question marks there. The husband doesn't have to worry about his wife. He doesn't have to wonder. He doesn't have to question her. He has full trust in her. And when that happens, letter D, a wife can be a crown to her husband. A crown. Proverbs 12:4, I'll read it to you. Proverbs 12:4, the Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Notice the contrast there. The virtuous woman can be a crown. But the woman that brings shame is like rottenness in the bones. Two complete opposites. So notice, a virtuous woman is one who can be trusted. The husband of the virtuous woman trusts completely. No fear, no worries. Complete trust. So we see the heart, the husband, and number three, where we'll spend more time, is the home. The home of a virtuous woman, number three. And this is back in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 12, through the end of the chapter, we'll see the home of the virtuous woman. What is it that she does? We've seen her heart. It's a heart of character, a heart that fears God. We see her husband. Her husband trusts in her because of her character. Now we're going to see her home. What is it that she does? Well, first of all, letter A. Though the husband is the head of the home. The Bible teaches that the husband is the head of the home. That's the Bible formula. But you know what? Though the husband is the head of the home, the Bible shows that the wife is the manager of the home. You know that? She's really the manager of the home.
Amen.
She's the one that's doing the day-to-day things in the home, right? You know, yeah, the husband might have some kind of nice title, but who's really running the house? Mom is the one doing all the stuff around the house. She's the one getting the kids ready and getting this fixed up and that fixed up. So really, the wife has the more hands-on in the home. She's the manager. And let's look at Titus. If you keep your finger in Proverbs 31 and we turn ahead to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Let's stick with the Bible as far as what God values as important in the home. Because our culture says something different. I think we need to go by what the Bible says.
Amen.
Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Paul is telling Titus what to teach his people. And Paul is saying, hey Titus, I want you to talk to your people about the home. I guess they had problems in the home back then too. There's nothing new under the sun, right? You know, problems in the home is nothing new. I guess maybe in this area where Titus was pastoring, there were problems in the home. So Paul said, hey Titus, I want you to teach the aged women in verse 3, the aged women, so the elder women in the church, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. See that? So said, hey Titus, teach the older women to live this kind of way. Look at verse 4. So that they may teach the younger women. You see the formula of in the church? The older women are to teach the younger women. And that's the way we continue. That's the way we teach. One generation teaches the next. that the younger women can be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, right? These are the basics. And verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, right? That's again moral purity. Notice the next phrase, keepers at home. That's a word that means working at home, right? Staying at home, governing the home, again, managing the home type of idea. That's what that phrase means, keepers at home. It means they're the ones managing the home, that they would be keepers at home. So let's write down letter B. To be a keeper at home is no second-rate position. God honors it. It pleases God. So don't worry about what the culture may say. I like a... Actually, I have this here with me. It's pretty good. I'm going to pass it around, actually. It's a good comic for you to look at. So we'll pass it around. Because, you know, when people today say, what's your occupation to you ladies? And the lady says, well, I'm a housewife. All of a sudden, they think, oh, well, what's that? Yeah, that's not a job. But it, you look at this comic, it's more than a job. They did a study. They did a study some years ago about how much salary per year a stay-at-home mom would really receive. And it was in the six digits, okay? You know, it would be a six-figure kind of job. You know, they'd be making good money if a stay-at-home mom would. Because when you factor in the hours and the different tasks and all those things, it's a big job. So we'll let you look at that. But you know what? Being a keeper at home in God's eyes is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, we hit verse number 12. We see she will do in good and not evil all the days of her life. So obviously, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:12 does good to those in her home. We'll see some of that. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. So letter C. A virtuous woman is one who is hardworking. She's a hardworking woman. A virtuous woman. Sure. She's a hardworking woman. Verse number 13 tells us. She worketh willingly with her hands. And then we see in verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Look at verse 15. I'm sure any mother can relate with this. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. In other words, you know, this is the old saying goes, letter D, as they say, a woman's job is never done. And that's letter D. A woman's job is never done. Notice verse 15. It doesn't matter what hour of the night it is. She might have to get up. She might have to work and do certain things and tend to the children or who knows. And you know, it's never done. So she's working. She's rising up in the night sometimes, sleepless nights. Not only that, verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. You know what we see here? Letter E. The Proverbs 31 woman is financially wise. She's buying fields. She's making purchases. She's buying property. She's planting vineyards. She's making business transactions. This is not a woman that doesn't have an education or, you know, any type of second-rate position. No, she's financially wise. She's making purchases. She knows what she's doing. She's buying a field in verse 16. So we see that the Proverbs 31 woman is financially wise. She's intelligent. Okay? Again, the world paints the picture of a stay-at-home mom as somebody that's unintelligent. Or somebody that doesn't know, oh, well, they can't get any other job, so I guess they're a stay-at-home. No, that's not the case. Very intelligent. She's a stay-at-home mom, but yes, she's financially wise. Everything. Yes. So you know it's a financially wise person.
My mom always took care of the money in the house. house.
Good. That's good.
My father had that weakness. I need to. I let my wife take care of the money.
This way, safer.
I have that God real.
Amen. That's good.
Spend it unless I talk to her about it.
You know, I think it's ironic that the stereotype of women with credit cards and how women go shopping and stuff. You know what? I think men are just as bad. And you know, the problem with men is that the woman might go out and buy a dress or a pair of shoes. The man will go out and like buy a boat. Or, you know, buy these huge power tools, you know. So, yeah, the woman might spend a $30 dress. The man will go out and buy a $500 tool. All right, you see? I think men are just as guilty. They're going to buy another car. Or, you know, honey, I bought another car. Oh, okay. You know, they make the bigger purchases. So, you know, the money might be safer with the wife. All right, with the woman. She's financially wise. Now, we see in verse 17, she's strong. You see verse 17? She's got strong arms. Notice that. She strengtheneth her arms. She's not weak. This virtuous woman was strong. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands take hold of the distaff. In other words, she had a talent of making things. She made clothing and things like that. Now, doesn't mean that in order for you in 2010 to be a virtuous woman, you have to go out and make your own clothes. That's not the point here. But she did have a talent here, and she used it for her home. Now, let's focus on verse 20 for our next point. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. That's another quality of a virtuous woman. Letter F, she is a giving woman. She's giving, not selfish. Virtuous woman, she gives to those who have need. And that's a blessing. I think women are more giving than men. I believe it. I believe that women have a more giving spirit than men do. More compassionate. I do believe that. Yeah. So, you know, this is a wonderful thing that a woman can use for the Lord. Giving. She's giving. And then verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. She's not worried when the snow comes because her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, she's got her family provided for, protected, and that's letter G. She sees to it that those in her home are cared for and have their needs met. Amen. You know, it means in the wintertime she's got her kids bundled up in those winter coats and she's not worried about it. You know, she's got everything in order. She sees to it that those in her home are cared for. They have what they need. So she's not afraid of the snow. Her kids and her family are provided for, cared for. Now, she cares for others. She's very busy caring for others. Yes. Letter G is cared for. Yes. She sees to it that they're cared for. But let's be careful too. It doesn't mean that she doesn't care for herself either. Because look at verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. This verse teaches this. Letter H. She also sees to it that she takes care of herself. In other words, she keeps herself looking presentable. She's not so busy caring for everybody else that she's a wreck. She sees to it that she's cared for. And in the reference to a married woman, she wants to look good for her husband, right? And someone that's not married just wants to look good for the Lord. They want to keep themselves presentable. Amen. You know, she doesn't want her husband to come home and see her just in a wreck, you know? She keeps herself presentable. So that's that's part of being virtuous? Well, it's mentioned here in Proverbs 31. She keeps herself looking presentable. She keeps herself looking as best as she can. So she's doing a lot of work. She's caring for others. She's giving to those who have need. She's caring for her children, but she's also seeing to it that she looks her best for her family, for her husband. That's a wonderful thing. That's a godly thing. See? Don't get this idea. Don't get the wrong idea. Well, God doesn't care what I look like. He actually does.
Amen.
God wants us to look our best for Him.
Amen.
He wants us to be presentable. Some people have this idea that, well, God doesn't care what I look like. I can look however I want, and I could be a wreck, it doesn't matter because God only cares. Yeah, God cares about your heart, yes. But what's inside will come out on the outside. And we do need to look presentable. We need to look our best for the Lord. I believe in that.
I love the children in the
picture. Isn't that good? Yeah. Now, let's go to verse number 26. If we go down, well, we'll just read the in-between verses. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. Again, more financial things. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. But then verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Letter I. The words of a wise woman are well chosen. The words of a wise woman are well chosen. She does not just let words fly out of her mouth, out of anger and this and that. They're well chosen. The law of kindness is in her mouth. And it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, which means wisdom says sometimes you're better off not opening your mouth. Okay? That's what wisdom... Wisdom says sometimes you're better off just not saying anything. So the words of a wise woman are well chosen. Now, verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Letter J. You would never catch the virtuous woman sitting around all day watching the TV. That's not part of being a virtuous woman. Now, that does not mean every mom, every wife, everybody needs that feed up time. I understand that, absolutely. But you're not going to see the virtuous woman sitting around all day watching TV all day. She's doing good things for her family. She's busy. She's working. She's doing what she can. So she's not sitting around all day. That's what it says in verse 27. She eateth not the bread of idleness. That's God's word. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Letter K. Her children call her blessed. Now, listen to the next part after letter K. Her children call her blessed. You know what, ladies? That is more important than what house you live in, what car you drive, or what clothing brands you wear. That's number one. That your children call you blessed. Because, yeah, there's a lot of women out in the world today, they might drive a fancy car, they might have a fancy house, and they might have all the top brand name clothing. But you know what? Their children don't respect them. Their children don't say kind things about them because they're selfish. And you can name what the problems are in that home. So that's not what's important for a woman or a wife. Her children call her blessed. What, you can't place a price value on that. Amen. That her children respect her. They look up to her and say, wow, my mom is such a giving person. My mom is a godly person. My mom is someone I want to be like. You know, for the daughters to say, I want to be like my mom when I grow up. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Juanita? Amen. That's so good. Respect is earned. Now, yeah, we need to, you know, the Bible says, children, honor your father and your mother. That's not a conditional thing, but, you know, it makes it easier for the children to do that when the respect has been earned. And that's true in any area of life. Respect is earned. It's good. Lastly, before we close, verse 28, the end of it says, her husband also, and he praiseth her. You know, she has the respect of her husband, too. And then verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Letter L, beauty may fade with time, but a virtuous woman's testimony won't. Testimony. Beauty will fade, but your testimony doesn't have to. And virtue is what we are by God's grace, trusting in the indwelling Holy Spirit to produce Christ-likeness in us, the quote says. Virtue becomes a garden from which other desirable qualities bloom and grow. So the virtuous woman. And this is a great chapter of the Bible to frequent. Good reminders. And again, as we said in the beginning, If we can't find a virtuous woman in the church, where can we find one? They need to be in the church. We're not going to find them out there. But if we need to find them in the church. So that should be the goal of every woman in the church. To be a godly example. To teach the younger women. You know, we got kids in this church, right? We have some teens in this church that come from all different kinds of backgrounds. You see them, right? Yeah, you've seen them.
Amen.
Sure you have. They make themselves noticeable. They need some good examples to look up to, because I dare say that they may not have good examples in their home.
Amen.
They ought to be able to find it here. Maybe some of the ladies in the church can maybe look for a one-on-one opportunity to talk to one of these teen girls and try to be a hand to reach out to them. They need it. So let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.